Now, where did I put it? Here it is.
Welcome to the Toolbox, where my guests and I discuss the tools they use every day to manage life, trauma, and everything in between. It may not be applicable right now, but it's another tool for your toolbox. And I hope you enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Tools for the Toolbox. I am Chance Burrows, a.k.a. Big Bird. I have another outstanding guest for you, and I can't wait to get him into this. So we'll jump it off with the same question I always ask. Who are you, and what is your military background?
Yeah, so my name is Barry Bull. I'm a retired Sergeant Major in the United States Marine Corps. I currently live in Southern California. And not to rub it in anybody's face, but it is sunny and 70 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and I'm three blocks away from the beach. In case you guys just needed to visualize a nice, warm, sunny day, I am living it right now. Military background. So I joined the United States Marine Corps in 1998. And the only reason I say the year like that is so that, exactly, it's like in the 1900s, everybody.
Back in the day.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. and man, how much different life was back then. That was the year that actually Google was invented. A gallon of gas in our country was $1.16. Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky was the biggest scandal in our country at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted a movie, you had to go to Blockbuster, and you better be kind and rewind. All right. So that's when I joined the United States Marine Corps. It was a while ago.
Yep.
Okay. And I ain't going to pull any punches about that. I joined as a helicopter mechanic. So I was a, we call them skids because they have skids, right? For the Marine Corps would be Hueys and Cobras, okay, right, which technically are designated as escort aircraft, which just basically means that when you have a cargo aircraft, you're going to have some Hueys and Cobras in concert with them to defend right, their honor, if you will.
Yeah.
I was a really good mechanic. I really enjoyed it, and it was something where you working with your hands, and you get to see your hard work flying through the air. I got to fly in every type model series that we had in the Marine Corps. Advanced through the ranks, of course. I became a drill instructor way back in 2004, which for us, as you guys probably know, is just I'm pushing through recruits. It's a 3-year tour of duty. And it's very high strung. It's very demanding. It's very not friendly. Even for the drill instructors, drill instructor to drill instructor relations, not a lot of buddies down there. We demand a lot of each other. We demand a lot of the recruits. That was something that was very impactful in my career because I went there, and in that 3-year span, I got promoted 2 times to a very senior rank, which, you know, isn't typical and things of that nature. We call it meritoriously being promoted, which means, you know, you're getting pulled up and you're getting promoted ahead of your time. No board, no nothing. There's people that have seen your record and seen what you can do. And that kind of propelled me into the fast lane, really. And left the drill field, and I was selected and promoted to first sergeant about 3 years after that. That's when I went over to the infantry.
Okay.
When I went to the infantry, that's when that was in 2010. I got my ticket to Afghanistan, and we were there in Marja. And you've been to Afghanistan. You know exactly what it's like. And it is just, it's not, I wouldn't buy a retirement home there.
No, no. It's nice and hot, but that's about it.
It is nice and hot. A lot of mud huts and a lot of people that don't like you. But there's a lot of people that do like you, oddly enough.
That's true.
I spent a little over 3 years in the infantry, and then from there went over to motor transport. I went to a truck company and also working with our reserve component. Our reserve component is like they're the ones that come in 1 weekend out of the month and stuff like that. So everybody calls them part-time Marines, but you know, as far as the big picture, do active duty personnel look down on them? Yeah. But what our government gets for the money, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
So I worked with those guys. Fast forward a few years, I picked up Sergeant Major, which is our top enlisted rank for the United States Marine Corps. Went over to artillery, and I thought that the infantry went to the field a lot, and I was sadly mistaken. I mean, it was insane. It was, you know, I remember doing 2 44-day field ops inside of like 5 months.
Ouch.
And it was just, yeah, in the desert in 29 Palms, where it's also not like super fun. And, you know, you got sand in your teeth and everything else like that.
Yep.
And then I ended up finishing out my career where I started in the air wing, as we call it, at a F-18 training squadron. And I decided to retire at 23 years, man. So that's me.
Damn.
That's my military background. And, yeah.
That's a hell of a career. You're all over the place and getting. So you would have been a young private when 9/11 happened then, eh? Like just years in?
So I had about 3 years in. I was just about to pick up sergeant, actually. I was a corporal.
Okay.
Yep, NCO, getting ready to pick up sergeant. I picked it up, I want to say, September 11th happened. I picked up sergeant 6 months after that, February of 2002.
Damn. Yeah. That time frame, that 02 to like basically 10, that first decade was just pound people through. We need bodies on the ground. Let's go. And like I got in 05. I tried to get in 03, and a bit of my younger recreational days held me back. Let's say.
Your recruiter was like, oh.
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny. I was, so I went in 03 to sign up, and we have a substance use declaration. Like, you have, what have you, and it's very comprehensive, you know, tobacco, alcohol, cannabis, mushrooms, heroin, cocaine, like it goes down the list, right? And you have to go how much you use it, when was the last time you used it, and then like, anyway, goes into it. I had done some mushrooms at some point.
Wow.
And I couldn't remember when the last time I had done them was. It was in high school. I was like,
so you were trying to be real honest.
Well, that's the thing is, in my head, if I go in there and I lie on a declaration and then I do a piss test or something and I come up hot, then I'm done, right? Like, I'm not getting back in. I already lied on the application.
True
story. It's not happening. So I was like, fuck it. I don't remember, 18 months. Yeah, sure. Whatever. That should be long enough. And I handed it in and the recruiter goes, oh. You actually need like 3 years separation between any psychedelics and signing up. And I was like, son of, they're like, yeah, so come back in 18 months. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll be back in 18 months. I will show you. And 18 months later, I showed up, threw my papers down, and I was like, see, I told you I'd be back. And the recruiter's like, I don't know who you are. Because the whole staff had been changed around.
Excuse me.
Yeah, they'd all been posted out, and you guys were in, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and then I got in. But those years were like, I was doing my my training, my basic and SQ and my threes course were all throughout the summer of 06. And that's when Op Medusa was happening. The Canadians were taking Spurwingar and all of the major places in Kandahar. It was just constant fighting. We were taking casualties. And my staff was sitting there going like, understand that this is where you're going. And they'd be giving us reports. And we were all like, let's get it, and just motivated us that much more. But that whole time frame was a lot. So
For sure.
So you did 23 years in?
23,
23 years, man. I at 8 I got a little tired and had to call it a day. But what do you do now? You've been out for year and a half.
Yeah, I'm a personal trainer now. I love it, man. It's something that it really enables me to be able to continue to add value to people. That's one of the things I love most about being a leader, was making people laugh. One thing I always said in the Marine Corps, if they're laughing, they're listening, you know. Not to be unprofessional, but you know, I mean, when you're like a menacing sort of looking guy and you get up there and it's just rah, 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 sometimes people turn you off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. But anytime I can inspire, I can motivate, I can make you think a little bit deeper, I can make you laugh, I define that as value. It's allowed me to do that, and I stay connected because, you know, going from the top enlisted rank to slamming on the brakes and just one day hanging up your uniform is tough.
Yep.
And it's not easy. And as you know, I mean, even still, 8 years is a long time, man. And then one day it just stops.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I do now. And that's why I love it.
Yeah. I reference it like jumping off a train. Like the military is a train and it just keeps going. And when it's time for you to get off, you go to step off and it's just and off again.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. Now what I do.
That's
well,
right.
So how was the transition when you first came out? How'd that work for you?
I mean, like I said, it was hard. I mean, I knew what I was going to do, but there's just, I mean, it's funny because I get active duty members and they go, oh, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. And I'm like, nothing can prepare you for it. Okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
And I love you to death. And I'm not trying to be negative, okay? But you just got to understand, you're talking about something you ain't never done.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't never done it. And you know, and it's just not easy. So, like, I totally had a plan. I'm doing great, like, financially, everything, whatever. But you and I both know there's way more to life than money. And I'm a social person. I'm a people person. You know, that's one of the things that helped propel me and advance me so far in my career, because I just have this ability to get in front of thousands of people at the drop of a hat and articulate my thoughts on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, try to be like a little bit funny in the process. So
I realized that pretty early. I think that comes from being, especially recruit instructors, because a lot of people will just... You know, like, I know I was there. I had some dude screaming at me, knife had my face, and I was just like, click, wait until he's done. When he's done, okay, roger that, and off you go, right? But you're not actually listening. You're just there. And and yeah, you add a little bit of humor in, and if they're laughing, they're listening to you, right? If not, maybe you're just not funny, but that's going to be part of it.
Yeah, maybe, exactly, yeah.
So if you could go back a year and a half and talk to yourself, what would you tell yourself, the one thing to make it a little bit easier, a little bit smoother?
It'd be the invisible stuff. It would be, I would say, hey, I am where you're going a year and a half in the future. Don't worry so much. Don't worry so much. Don't have so much anxiety. It's gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. You're gonna make it. You've always made it. Have faith and believe and work hard. You've never been scared of hard work before. You're not scared now. So just get out of your own head. That's what I would say.
That's a great one. Just let it happen, man. Sometimes you just gotta let it happen. One of the things that we actually, as you were talking, it reminded me is that within the military, something that we really take for granted is timings, right? Everybody has timings. Everybody shows up on time or 5 minutes beforehand or 10, whatever. Like, it's just, but our concept of time is always very now. Everything's gotta be like, we're gonna here, then here, there, blah, blah, blah. And when we're planning, yeah, you're talking about long-term stages, right? 44 days in the field here, 28 days in the field here, course there, whatever. But you know, that you've probably heard this many times, right? You don't actually believe anything is going to happen until your boots on the ground, because shit just goes south, right? So I think for a lot of us, that concept of time is just like, wait, I have 10 years? I have 20? Like, I could just...
That's right.
Like, just hang for a bit.
Well, yeah. And you know, and that's what I used to teach, something I used to teach my young leaders when they were tasking their subordinates, right? And I'd say, here's a couple of tricks of the trade, okay? Number one, anytime you need something, you need it now.
Mm-hmm.
You better put that alligator real close to the boat, man. Because if you come to me and I work for you and you say, I need this in 2 weeks, dude, I'm not going to touch it for a week and a half.
Yeah, not till the day of or the day before.
I ain't touching it for a week and a half. Yep. And, you know, and once they start like understanding that concept, because it's not going to be, you know, and not everything can be like this hair on fire, I need it now type of deal. And I get that as well. But we all run things through like our own prioritization. And it's like, where does this stack up? How close to the boat is this alligator? And what do I got to get done and stuff like that? But yeah, that's what, I'd tell them like this, never ask for anything by close of business or the end of the day on Friday, because you'll be the sucker waiting on a Friday for it. You always ask for it by end of the day on Thursday.
Yep.
And then that way you can leave on Thursday, come in Friday morning and see who owes you. And then you play cleanup on Friday. They'd be like, oh, I didn't realize that. I'd be like, yeah, because you're going to be the one waiting on a Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing quite like sitting on Friday watching the time pass going like, everybody else got dismissed. Why are we still here?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And that's it. So that's a great piece of advice, man. Like even later in life, organizing your priorities is huge. And actually understanding what is a priority, whether it's required right now. That's the other thing we do in the Army all the time, is that everything is super important, has to be done right now. Okay. Civilian life. No, not really.
And yeah, even it has then, to be done right now. And they're like, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It can wait. And exactly. I got to correct myself because I still do this every once in a while, but civilian life for us doesn't exist. Yeah. We live now in a veteran life because the person you were before the military, that was a civilian. You do your time in the military, you're a soldier, you're a Marine, you're airman, whatever you are. After you're out, you are a veteran. And you'll be a veteran for the day you die. And that is your life. And that's okay. Like, it's not a title that you need to, you know, hold on to and like, I'm a freaking veteran, but you are. Yeah. And I think a lot of us struggle with that concept of, oh, I got to get back to civilian life. That life is gone.
It's gone, man. Yeah, you're right. That's gone. I mean, I grew up in the military. I was 18. I'm 42 now. It's like, you know.
It's a tough one to let go of. I was an old man when I joined. I was 23.
That is, you laugh, but that is an old man in military terms. I mean, at 18, I would have been like, this is a guy over here.
And I'm running through basic. We actually had a dude on my basic training. Here in Canada, we do all arms basic. So you have all the Navy, Air Force, and Army together. And there was a, I believe he was going into the Air Force, but he was 56 and decided he was going to join and going through basic with everybody else. And this is back in 05, 06.
Bless his heart, man.
Yeah, we were like, gooder, man, get on you. And then we had a dude on my threes course, my engineer trade course, that he was 43, 42 or 43, and he was in wicked shape. Like, he just crushed all of us in pull-ups, and he would run fast, and we were just like, who That's is amazing. This guy?
Who's this guy, the Terminator?
Right? And solid dude, great troop, man. He turned into an awesome awesome soldier. Now, let's get into what I wanted to talk to you about in general, which is leading change. And the reason I picked leading change is because, one of the reasons why I started following you on social media is I saw a post you put out about the open door policy and having sergeant majors with an open door policy. And that, as soon as I watched it, I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. Because I remember being told by all of my senior leadership, I have an open door policy. I would never go near that room.
Ever.
Not once. Like, why? Why? And even if I wanted to, I still have to go through the chain of command. Right.
Amen.
If I want a meeting with the sergeant major, I want a meeting with the RSM, whatever, I got to talk to my sergeant first. I got to talk to it, and it's got to go up the chain. Right. So when did you figure that out? Like, what was it that sparked that point where you were like, oh,
It was when I was had just come off of the drill field, being a drill instructor. I was a young gunnery sergeant, E7, so you know, I was pretty senior at that time. And you know, and it really, I feel, manifested itself because when I became a brand new first sergeant. Okay, so that's when I went over to the infantry. You know, for us, if you're a gunnery sergeant or below, that's like general population. There's a bunch of gunnies running around.
Yeah.
When you're the company first sergeant, you are one of one.
Yes.
You are one of one. There ain't nobody that can fill your spot, sit in your place, take that meeting, go to that thing, do that stuff. That it's you and you alone.
Mm-hmm.
So you go from like walking on the treadmill to a full blown sprint once you get promoted and you kind of like get into that world. And the infantry is a very alpha community. Basically, you gotta be ready to beat someone's ass every day you go to work.
Yeah.
This is not like we're just pushing paper in some other job in the Marine Corps, in the military. Our primary weapon is my body. And if I can beat your ass, you better believe I'm going to be the one in charge. And that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
And there was just never a calm, collected argument or dispute. It was like, we got to fight because that's what we're trained to do. We just got to fight. And that's what men do. And at the time there was zero women. And anyways, so, you know, you mentioned chain of command, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If a Marine ever came to my office, and it happened maybe once or twice, if you could imagine growing up in a bad neighborhood and the cops drop somebody off in a marked car, everybody in that neighborhood is going to know you were talking to the cops.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be getting your butt kicked from here back to the barracks.
Yep.
Right? So it just dawned on me like, dude, and I was a senior mentor for other first sergeants. When I had about 5 years time in grade as a first sergeant, I was selected along with four other first sergeants, Marine Corps wide, to go be a senior mentor to 200 plus other first sergeants.
Nice.
And that's what I told them. I don't care if you have 17 open doors, nobody cares.
Yeah.
We call it in the Marine Corps, in the infantry, we call it walking your lines. What does walking your lines mean? When your men are dug in their fighting holes, when they're on the gun line, when they're doing what it is that they do, you got to walk your lines and go talk to them. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't expect them to come talk to you. And really, you need to be able to pull out of them whatever it is that you want, because there's always going to be that guarded protection. Right. And if I was your first sergeant and I was your senior guy, it may take three times of me asking you, hey, man, are you really okay? Because you may be like, mm-hmm. I ain't telling him.
No.
I don't want to look weak.
Yeah. Good to go, first sergeant. Yeah.
I'm good to go, right? Everything's good to go, but it might not be good to go. So that's why I learned that.
Yeah. That's a great point. We use this one. I don't know if you guys down there use it, but live in the dream. Whenever the senior staff comes down and you're sitting there in your trench, you're freezing cold, you can't feel your toes, we're sitting and staring at a field full of snow, and you're like, this is my life right now. And the sergeant major shows up and he's like, hey, Sapper so-and-so, how you doing? And you're like, living the dream, sergeant major, this is it. And he goes and walks on, and you're like, okay, thank God, he's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what is your... when you walk the lines, do you have any tricks, any little things to try and draw that out? Is it humor specifically? Do you try and get them up, get them moving? What do you use?
Well, you know, one thing that I always implemented was, because I've never viewed myself like I'm better than anybody, because I'm not. And I want to put myself on your level, on that soldier or that Marine's level. Even if you've been in for 6 months and they're looking at you like, oh my gosh, even for you, man. I mean, seriously, dude, I bet when you were 5, 6 years in and you had already been to Afghanistan and you had new soldiers show up, they looked at you like, and you said, hey, go freaking do this thing. And they were like, goodbye.
Yep.
Because they're looking at you like, this guy, oh my gosh, he's bigger than life. Mm-hmm. You can see it on their face and you can see it how they speak. So, you know, I would get down there with them and just, I'd be like, what's going on, man? And they'd be like, is this guy really talking to me like this? You know, and I'd be like, dude, why are you being all weird? I'm just asking you what's up, you know, what is up, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and they'd be like, you know, nothing, Sergeant Major, we're just like, you know, doing whatever. And I'd be like, oh, cool, man. So, you know, when's the last time you called your mom? And I always hit them with these curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are you from? You know, everybody loves to talk about themselves, right? So as soon as I start asking you about you, you're like, oh, yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, you know, it's too bad you're from Texas because they don't even have organized sports there. And that's what is sad about it. And they'd be like, oh, damn, Sergeant Major, you're making fun of Texas, yeah, and stuff like that. And, you know, then you really start getting them. And, I'd be like, and you can't get good Mexican food there. That's also heartbreaking. But from California, because we're right there. And it's just, you know, and then you really start getting the trash talking going. And who doesn't love the trash?
That was fighting words. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I'd be like, it's all good, man. I mean, I seen you out there on the PT test. I mean, well, I had to look back to see you because you were behind me and stuff. So it's just, I'm sure maybe you didn't try as hard as you could. Then you're like, okay, Sergeant Major got jokes. And once you peel that back and see how I got you laughing, I get them laughing. They're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now I eliminate my rank.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's always going through your mind? What's always going through my mind when I had a leader come around? Are you going to be real? The ones that were nothing but just hate and discontent, I'd be thinking to myself, dude, I'll beat your ass, bro. I will beat you senseless, bro. And I don't know if that's true, but in my mind I was. And also, I'm always willing to find out.
Yeah.
You know, but once I eliminate the awkwardness of the rank, once I'm not coming at you trying to challenge you,
mm-hmm,
you think to yourself, he's a regular dude like me. And then we just start talking. Yeah. And you start eliminating those layers of protection. When I was in Afghanistan, I was a first sergeant. I was a senior guy. And, you know, I grew up on the streets of California, man. And so I don't scare easy. And I would make people nervous out there. I would get on the 240 Golf knowing that we're taking contact right outside the patrol base because I really don't care. And I'm going to accept the same risk that you're accepting. Mm-hmm. You know, my sergeant major got pissed at me. He's like, hey, man, if you take one between the running lights, like right here, hey, bro, we don't have a replacement for you, okay? So I know you're gung-ho, man. Right? But just be careful out there because you really got people getting hurt. And I'm like, okay, I want my men to see.
Yeah.
I want them to see that I will get out in front of the vehicle and ground guide that vehicle. I'll walk in front of the vehicle because I don't care because I'm just like you, you know? And so, and your Marines see you do that and they see that you give a damn and that you're just like them, they'll do anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah. The best leaders I ever had always did the work. They didn't tell other people to do the work. They just did the work. Yeah. And they were subject matter experts, like especially in the engineers. We're talking bridges and minefields and explosives and IEDs and doing demolitions and construction and road building and like everything. And when you asked them a question, they knew. While you're sitting there, especially like doing mine prodding, or getting out there with metal detector and you're just sitting there sweeping.
Bless your heart.
And it sucks. But when you have somebody that actually knows what it's like to sit there and be like, oh yeah, man, I feel like your arm must be tired right now. Little things like that, right? Like not just, hey, it's hot out here. Like, yeah, it's fucking hot. It's the desert. But when somebody says, man, how's your shoulder doing? You've been carrying that. You've been swinging that thing for like 20 minutes. And you're like, it's a little tight, right?
That's what people don't understand about combat engineers, man, because what you're describing is exactly what ours do. And not everybody's EOD, explosive ordnance disposal, man. You ain't got I ain't got enough of those guys to go around, but you know who I do have? Combat engineers. And, and a lot of people that weren't there don't know that. They don't know that. I can't sit there and wait for EOD. We're getting shot at. Combat engineer, get your butt out there. You know, and that's real, man. So, you know, hey, man, my hat's off to you, brother, because I didn't have to do that.
It was fun. The neat thing is that, like, people ask me, they're like, oh, you know, thank you for your service. What was it like? And I'm like, dude, I got paid to blow things up. Like, that was my job. Like, that's fucking awesome. And then when I was an instructor, I was at a place called Meaford in Ontario, and we have a lot of it's an old base. It's from, like, it was originally an Air Force base pre-World War II. Wow. And then it became an artillery base, and then it was a tank firing range, and then it was then it became a school, and then, like, it, so there's ordnance everywhere. And I was the senior engineer there, and they were like, hey man, can you want to go blow stuff up? And I'm like,
who doesn't want to do that?
Yeah. And so I spent most days just hitting stuff. We found cool stuff, like 76 mil Sherman rounds from probably, I think we stopped using them in like the 60s. And we found 106 mil recoilless rounds, which we haven't used since the 70s. So, like, just old stuff that was just sitting in the ground. People would be like, hey, look what we found. And I'm like, can I go get my charges?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Being with the men, first off, and knowing what they do, right? That's, as you said, you, even as an infantier leader, you knew what the engineers could do. And when you ask them to do it, they'll do it. Here's the thing that I always struggled with, especially right after the military, was social media. And right? It is such a challenge. But when we were going through all of our training, going through Afghanistan and all this stuff, it was OPSEC, right? You don't fucking use social media. You don't post pictures. You don't do anything, all that shit. Yeah. And then slowly, like, we left Afghanistan in 2012, and we haven't really we've done a few things here and there with our special forces guys, and we haven't really sent our mainline units anywhere, where social media has now taken over. And now we have an issue of social media and the uniform and the commingling of all that can lead to.
Sure.
So how did you manage social? Because I've seen a lot of your videos with you in uniform. So you're obviously doing them while you're in. How did you manage that and manage it with your troops?
It's hard, man. Oh my gosh. Okay. So number one, I started my social media in the summer of 2019. I'd already been a sergeant major for about 2 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which for us is a pretty good amount of experience in that rank, because a lot of guys are so old, you know, you don't really get to be in it for that long before you retire, you know?
Yeah.
So I was a part of a commandant. Our commandant is our 4-star general who runs our particular branch of service. So the commandant of the Marine Corps had assembled what we call an operational planning team, an OPT. Basically, all it is you designate a group of Marines, right? Maybe, let's say, they're small groups. Let's say there was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 people total, and you have a problem, and then you have a desired outcome, and we're trying to, like, slice this whole thing up and deliver options to the commandant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the OPT was reducing first term. So service members that are on their first contract for us is 4 years. First term EAS, end of active service. Reduce first term EAS attrition. In other words, you or me didn't make it to the end of our contract and it was for something bad, like I got in trouble. Yeah. How can we reduce that? And it was like trying to slice a slice of cheese. Anyways, one of the gentlemen there, he's still active duty. He's a sergeant major. Dude's phenomenal. His particular unit, what they did was they had what they called a new joined platoon. So let's say you're at your engineer unit, okay? And then over at like regiment or battalion, however you guys are broken down, they have a new joined platoon. Okay, what's that mean? All your combat engineers that come out of school, they go to that new joint platoon for 2 weeks. They check in, they get their gear, they take care of all the little like
admin stuff and yeah.
Admin stuff, annual training. So when you get them, they're ready to work.
Nice.
They're ready to work. They don't need nothing. They got everything. Everything's done. I am here to report to you. Use me at your will, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what they found out was that when those service members, I think they were in that new joint platoon for somewhere 2 weeks to 2 to 4 weeks. When they went to their first unit, they all reached back to that new joint platoon leadership. There was a staff sergeant, like an E6, a Marine who's probably been in about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and a young officer. And they would reach back to them. And they did it for one reason, because those leaders were not in their chain of command. And the other reason was because they had established a relationship with them. Okay. When I combine that mentality with social media, okay, over 70% of the United States Marine Corps are 25 years of age or younger.
Mm-hmm.
Over 99% of that population is on social media. So you want to talk about walking your lines. You might want to walk your lines, because as you see, and I hated social media, and I still do. Okay. But it's just like the news, brother.
Yep.
Somebody's putting a message out. What message is being put out? And I took it upon myself to put my voice out, to put my message out. And I was the first active duty sergeant major to do it. And I got a lot of haters because I was more well known than our sergeant major of the Marine Corps,
yeah.
Troy Black, who's been in the Marine Corps like 34 years. You know what I mean? Here I am. I've been in the Marine Corps for freaking, 20. And people are like, who the hell does this guy think he is, you know?
Yeah.
And so you get a lot of haters. Because there's going to be Marines who go, he shouldn't be doing that. There's Marines that go, he cares more about social media than he does his own Marines. And then there was Marines in my units who would go, the new Marines, they'd go, Sergeant Major, I watch your story every morning. It gives them a direct line.
Yep. That's outstanding. That it actually leads directly into what my next point. It's kind of hilarious. I watched this show on Netflix called Chasing Infinity or Finding Infinity or something like that. Neat show. It's all about the mathematics of infinity. It's cool. But I was writing in my journal the other day about it, and I came up with the term aggressive humility. In that you have to aggressively chase humility. And as you don't want to get to a point where you're humble so that you're passive. So you have to maintain some aggressiveness, and it's just kind of like this back and forth constantly to try and find that line. And I think that the best leaders that I ever met were people that would walk that line, and they would be humble. As we said earlier, they would walk their lines, right? Walking the line. Hey man, that all works out perfectly. they would walk their lines, but they would do it in a way that wasn't, I'm in charge, right? And it's not the walking around with the hand on their hips looking for shit to stir the pot. They want to check in on their boys, and they want to see how you're doing. And it's that the use of social media is super challenging, first off. But it'll check your ego real fast.
Oh my
it'll
gosh,
check your
man.
Ego real fast. And having the ability to be to chase humility, to look at, I had a guy message me one day, middle of the night, like, what are you doing taking pictures in your uniform? And I was like, I'm proud of the time I served. And he started off as this like little diatribe of hate, right? Of just like, well, you shouldn't be doing that. And there's bad people out there and they could be taking your information. And I'm like, oh, and I just sat with it. And I was like, okay. I get where you're coming from. I feel you. Like I did the same thing when I first got out. And I just let the conversation flow to a point where he got, and he was like, why are you still talking to me? He's like, I was an asshole to you. And I was like, I know. I've been there. I've been that guy. And he goes, well, like, why? And we sat, and eventually we sat, and he's a buddy of mine now. He chats with me regularly. But it's that level of humility to actually accept and be like, oh, yeah. I've been there. Do you have anything that drove that? Was that a lesson that you learned, or was it just something that felt right?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, it hurts when you have seniors that you feel don't value you. Not like, mm-hmm. I don't want to make it sound like we're all over here, you know, gum drops and lollipops and patty cake. But at the mm-hmm. same time, like, you know, I don't need a pat on the back for anything. But at the same time, it feels good when you feel valued. And so there's that aspect of it. And the other thing is how many times I got feedback from people, from service members, juniors, even senior, you know, of how refreshing it was to feel validated, not like in a Dr. Phil way, right? Because like in the middle, okay, so here's an example. He's a Chief One Officer 3. He was one of my enlisted Marines when I was in my artillery battalion. And he's one of, not the only one, but he's one guy at my retirement ceremony. He came up to me, he said, you are the best Marine I've ever met in my life. Now for Marines, we don't ever give up the top spot. You could have just taken me to the best burger spot on the planet. And I know it's the best burger and you're going to ask me, and I know I've never had a better burger, and you're going to go, how was that burger? I'm going to be like, top five.
Yeah, pretty good.
Top five. So yeah. For somebody to give up that top spot, it's like really impactful. And it brought tears in my eyes, because it's just, your whole career is flashing in front of you when you retire or get out or what have you. And he reminded me of the first meeting that we ever had. And he's like, I wasn't even there to see you. And you pulled me in your office, and it was just like the most disarming conversation. You didn't make me feel like I had to kiss your ring. In the United States Marine Corps, depending on what your job is, your rank is, there's a lot of subcultures, and there's a lot mm-hmm. of unwritten rules that you will absolutely follow. And he's like, you didn't make me kiss your ring. You did not make me bow down. You respected me. I felt it immediately, and it meant a lot to me. And those moments of feedback have always stuck with me. And they've had mm-hmm. such a big impact. And that's why when you and I opened, I made the comment about how impactful one conversation can be. And the most, when somebody is humble to me, there's a lot of behavioral traits and characteristics that go with that. But when someone's humble, in Barry's opinion, they're teachable, mm-hmm. they're coachable, and they're a good listener. And I always used to tell my subordinate level leaders, my leaders who made leaders who made leaders, I always told them, you got two ears and one mouth. You should try to listen twice as much as you speak. You should take notes when your men are speaking to you, right? And you should try your best to make them feel valued. Always be looked for a reason to say, hey dog, I appreciate that. Sergeant Major, you told me to do that. I know. And I'm telling you that I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's got to do the work that ain't that sexy. And I appreciate it. you know? So that's where I got that from. That's where I really learned that, because we are really in the business of people. We really are. And a lot of people lose sight of that. They lose sight of it, you know? And, I had a lot of distaste for those kind of people. When I dealt with seniors who came across me wrong, I was that guy that I reminded them, like, you're barking up the wrong tree, man. I respect you. I would never step out of line, but I'm telling you, I will crack your head open in front of everybody in here. All right. So just, I'm a warrior till the day I die, and I'm always going to be that. If you need me to do something, I'll run up the block and get it for you right now. No questions asked, but don't challenge me like that. Don't ever challenge me.
Yeah. Unfortunately my mouth got me in a little bit of trouble with in that regards. Cause I,
that means you're a damn good soldier.
So I got told very early in, I was in basic training and I had an Air Force sergeant who was teaching, and we were going through an ethics course, like a portion on, and he was doing a really good job because it was quite informative, but he said, it is your responsibility as a soldier to question every order you're given.
Wow.
And I was like, this is the Army, right? Like I did sign up for the right place. but he explained it a little bit longer. He's like, it's not about in that moment, but you should be asking yourself, why are we doing this? Why is he telling me to do this? What is the purpose behind all of this? And it kind of, this is where I didn't learn quickly enough. I had to make the same mistake a couple of times. And we do something called an OC's hour here, where the major sits with corporals and below, no senior staff at all, and just person to person. And so we were setting this up, and we were supposed to have, we were in the field, and we're all in this tent, and the major sitting in front of us. He's like, okay, boys, just so you know, we're going to do the OC's hour. It's at 1700 tonight. All good. Make sure everybody's seated and ready to go. Sergeant Major, any points? And Sergeant Major. So for us, the Sergeant Major is, it would be like a first sergeant for us, the Sergeant Major. And he goes, yeah, just so you all know, I'll be sitting in on the OC's hour. And I was like, sir, that's like, not okay. I got a question. I was like, I don't think that's a great idea, Sergeant Major. It kind of goes against what we're doing here. And he goes, well, I'm the Sergeant Major and I do what I want. And I was like, cool. And I like, there was a check in my head. Was like, I have no respect for you anymore.
There you go.
And I'm sure a bunch of the juniors at one point, like the private, I was a senior corporal at that point in time, but I even went so far, this was the bad part, was I actually followed him out of the tent after the meeting. I went and talked to him in person, and I was like, sir, like, this is really not a good idea. You really shouldn't do this. And it kind of paid off in the end. It was a little bit of a humorous story on this, but he, again, just told me to kind of screw off. I thought I was being very circumspect. I thought I was being, like, quiet and around the corner, like, no. Apparently, some of the younger guys came up to me afterwards and like, dude, why were you yelling at the Sergeant Major?
Whoa, yeah.
I don't recall yelling at him, but all right. Anyway, at the OC's hour, we all sat down. Sergeant Major stood up. He's like, okay, everybody, Master Corporal and above, you guys can leave. We're going to go out. And then he scanned the room and he's like, and I'm leaving too. Is that okay, Corporal Burles? I was like, good to go, Sergeant Major. But unfortunately, that bit me in the ass. I didn't get to go on. I got taken off of tour mysteriously for the next one. I wonder how that happened.
Leader, but I feel like anytime you have to default to I'm in charge and I do kind of what I want kind of thing, you are going to lose respect from your people, because what's right is right. It's either right or it's not. And everyone's going to know it, you know?
So,
yeah, that's tough.
It's a tough one. But and the funny, I look back on it now, and it was a lesson that I think I had to learn. I had to learn where to say, hey, you know, I put my hand up and I said, no, we shouldn't do that. Now it's time to let it go rather than go after it. But so the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was one of the things that I know I think you put out a reel a little while ago. I can't remember what it was. And I commented on it. It was like, be the change you want to see. Right. And I don't know how many times I heard that coming through the military. And I was just like, yeah, okay, I'll just be the way I'm sure. But it's so accurate. It is 100%. If you want something to change, change it. Like, it's a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get others to, well, buy into it?
One thing I used to tell my Marines was the best example is leadership by example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you have to be careful, right? Because it's almost like a self-licking ice cream cone. When you get people who are going, you know what, Corporal Burles, you should be this. You should do that. You should be better at this. Where have they taken their focus off of? Themselves. And that's why when you get these haters and you get these trolls and you get these people that are judging you, they have removed the focus off of themselves. And what they're essentially saying is, you know what, Burles? If you were more like me, you would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I've got this thing figured out. And I was watching you on your Instagram, and I feel I should be the one to break you the tough news that no one's ever told you. I need to be the one. And it's like, well, time out there, because do you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it goes back to humility. Are you really humble? Do you really believe that you're not better than this person over here? You know? Okay, maybe they have some shortcomings. Maybe they're not as physically fit as what they could be. That doesn't make you better than them.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, let's say they're overweight. Okay, that 9 times out of 10 is an indicator of something else. It might be an indicator that they really love burritos. And it also might be an indicator of something else. And that's why I used to tell my leaders, would I get you to believe that all of your soldiers have no problems? Or even better, some of your soldiers have zero problems? Or would you believe that all of your soldiers have some problems? They've all got some.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what they are, they're not telling you. Your job is to figure out what the hell it is. Are you all in to go find out? That's what makes a great leader a great leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people, and I'll tell them, hey, brother, hey, sister, the best piece of advice I can get, because I don't know who you are. You obviously know who I am. You've been watching me. You've been judging me. You've been evaluating me. You've thought about it. You have, you know, you're commenting. Who knows how many times you deleted it and retyped it. Best piece of advice I can give you. Stop letting me take space in your brain rent-free. If you don't like me, be emotionally mature, be an adult, and keep moving to the left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about being humble and me realizing I'm not perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. And that's where people get it confused. I put a message out on leadership and they go, you think you're the guru on leadership. Well, what do you want me to say? Every message I put out, do you want me to say what a piece of crap I am? Don't you realize that the stuff that I'm putting out is literally lessons that I've learned the hard way because I am a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff that I've messed up. You know how many times I have failed? Do you want me to really, does that have to be my disclaimer to you to appease you every message I put out? I don't think so. I don't. And I'm not going to do it. And I don't know if that answers your question. I mean, there's a lot of variables tied in there, man. And it's,
yeah. This is the whole point of the show, right? It's tools. These are the tools that I've used. And that's the thing that my wife really pushed on me when I was doing the first getting the podcast started and doing social media, and, you know, it goes against the grain. And you're like, I don't like taking pictures of myself, and I don't want to sit there and talk to a camera and all these things. But you're putting tools out to the world saying, hey, this worked for me. Take it for what you want, right? But this worked for me. And outside of that, then it's a choice. Everybody else gets a choice. If they want to listen to it, cool, listen to it. There's people on my Instagram feed that I don't like, and I do it on purpose because I don't like what they have to say.
Yeah.
So, okay. Like, I have to, I'll sit there and be like,
yep.
Fuck it. Right. And it's a mental practice of just saying, oh, you know what? Okay. They're entitled to their opinion.
Well, and my thing is this, if I really believe that I should be the change that I want to see,
mm-hmm.
I should be focused on me and what I can do better, not on you and what you can do better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody's got an opinion. That don't mean you got to share them all.
Yeah. Or listen.
And I've seen too many leaders like that. They share every opinion, and I'm speaking the truth. Okay, well, that doesn't mean you got to be a jerk about it all the time, okay?
Yeah.
I know there's a time for shut up and color, but it's not all the time. So just, you know, for whatever it's worth. But.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's such a great point, too, is that there's, you know, everybody can have an opinion. Absolutely. Have your opinion. If you're going to shout it from the rooftops, expect other people to tell you off because your opinion is not the same. If you're not going to shout it from the rooftops, then people aren't probably going to freaking try and talk you down. But it is action, reaction, right? If you want something, go for it. But expect there to be difficulties along the way because nothing is given, as you know, as we all know, like nothing is given. You have to work your ass off for it. And especially if you want a change that is going to change something large, then you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice parts of yourself to get there.
Right.
Whether that is, you know, not eating burritos anymore or only eating a burrito every week, right? Depending on how much you love burritos. But, I actually haven't had a good burrito in a while.
Oh my god!
We don't have many good burritos.
They're everywhere here.
You should come up and have some poutine, man. Then you'll understand. Have you ever had a poutine up north?
I've never had it.
Do you know what it is?
I don't even know what it is.
Oh, dude. Okay, so it's fries. It's from Quebec, so the French came up with it. But it's fries with mozzarella cheese curds and then gravy poured all over it. It's so good, and there's nothing quite like it. So we've been rolling for a little bit over an hour here, brother. And I can't thank you enough for being on here. It has been my absolute pleasure for the conversation. Anything, final points, last minute little things that burning on you want to get out to the world?
Yeah, you know, you're never alone, man. You're never alone. You're not alone. And I know it can be lonely. I know what that's like. And as a service member, as a veteran, as an active duty person, wherever you may be at in your walk, on your path, find someone that you relate to and talk to them. Don't isolate yourself and never turn to alcohol. I believe if you do those two things, you can get through anything in your life. Expectation management. You're never going to quote unquote get over it. That trauma that you have, you got to learn to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Life is like the car wash, man. Nobody goes through the car wash without getting wet. Thank you for having me, brother. It's been my pleasure.
Hey. So if anybody doesn't know you or know who you are or doesn't follow you on the social media, how would they do that?
Yeah, so my Instagram is @bull5277. My TikTok is @bull52772, whatever you subscribe to both. I'm on there. I am active every single day. I share my heart. I share my life. And I come off the cuff. I tell it like I see it. I call it how it is, man. That's what I do.
That's outstanding. Well, again, I can't thank you enough. This has been an awesome little chat, and I think there's lots of great points for everyone to glean from this. And I haven't done this for any of the other Marines I've talked to, but I just feel the need. I have to do it. So Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Yeah. I love it, man. I love it.
Chemo.
That concludes another episode of The Toolbox. I really appreciate y'all listening. It has been my absolute pleasure bringing you this guest. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, share, subscribe, do all that other wicked stuff. It helps me keep the lights on. To all those out there putting it on the line every day, I just want to let you know that I appreciate you. Military, veterans, first responders, civil servants, you name it, keep this place running, and I really do appreciate it. So thank you. Don't forget, stay open, stay humble, stay focused, with grace, not slack. GMO.